Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Paul Hamilton with Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
With Paul Hamilton in Tampa, where the Sabres play the Lightning tomorrow night. Mike Shope and the Bulldog. Paul joining us on the West Her Hotline. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Let's start with today, and then we'll get to last night. Work backwards here. So I heard you this morning on WGR asked, can you just go up to the GM and ask questions? And you said, no, it has to be arranged. And you may have also said that there weren't plans to talk with him, but maybe you didn't. I know that that has happened, and I'm curious as to what the story was.
Well, I made plans as soon as I was done with them. I asked to talk to him today. So that's, you know, we got to practice, and they said, sure. And we got a chance to talk. So, you know, I thought, yeah, why not? It's about time. So when I was done with Howard, I put in the request, and it was granted.
And you had a group of guys there? Like, it was a set thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't – once – if they would have just done it with me, then everybody else there would have said, well, I want my turn too, and then he's got to do it two or three times.
Right. Okay.
So as much as I would have liked to gotten them on my own, one other guy asked – John Vogel had asked for him also. So, you know, I understand why they wanted it together, because then he only has to do it once, and,
sure,
that's that.
Do you know if they were planning on making him available in advance of the trade deadline at all, Paul? Or maybe this is what that served as. You asked,
no.
And he thought, okay, well, the trade deadline's coming, let's just do this.
And that was part of my request. I said, look, at the trade deadline's coming up, and with everything that's been happening with the team lately, I think it's time, and I'd like to ask some questions. And as I said, they talked to him, and he said yes. He's, you know what? He's not somebody that really dodges the media or anything. If you ask and you've got some legitimate topics, he'll usually talk to you if you want to. So, you know, I don't think it was that big of a deal. You know, he was his typical self. He never gets – I mean, you know, you guys talk to him. He's always the same, whether he's talking to you or with the media or anything. He doesn't let any question bother him, even if he gets thrown. He'll gather himself for a second. I think the Housley question, honestly, I think threw him.
I do too.
He seemed ready for everything else. I don't know exactly why he wouldn't have been ready for that, but you know, that's just kind of the way he is. So as I said, I thought it was a very good idea. There were questions that needed to be asked. They didn't want to have to do it nine times. So I say we all. There's three of us. There's, you know, the Athletic, the Buffalo News, and, of course, Sabres.com. There's four of us. So that's it. I mean, it wasn't there wasn't any Tampa media there or anything.
Interesting.
Right. Peter King wasn't there.
Right. So you thought that he was taken aback by the question, will there be a coaching change? And I thought he sounded like that, and it reads like that. And let's talk about that. Like, is it off the table, even into the off season, the way he sounded?
That's the way I took it, and if you watch it later on, I'm sure it'll be up on the Sabres site if it's not already, I think you'll get the same thing just looking at him, talking to him. He looked very emphatic about what he's going to. And honestly, that's the answer I expected. I think he is very much behind Phil Housley. You know, this is his coach. Bulldog, you made a point. Maybe he was also letting the players know that this is his coach, and you're going to have to deal with it. So, you know, whether fans like it or not, or whoever likes it or not, I think he wanted to be clear that this is the coach. And, yeah, it did seem to me, talking to him and just looking him in the eye, that he's very serious about Phil Housley being the coach here. And I can tell you that the ownership, too, they just think it's the slippery slope of the keep firing coaches every 2 years. And I think they'd like to break that too. So I get the impression that ownership is with Jason Botterill on this.
So what do we make of that then, Paul? I think if they want to stay with it here, like Botterill talked about progress from last year. I mean, they were last year, so they are better than that, and they'll finish with, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what it ends up being here. They've already got more points than they had last year. Maybe they'll get to 80, 85, I don't know, whatever total. They've got 23 games left, and they're on 63 points. What do you think will have to change in their minds? Is it merely just waiting for Tage Thompson to become a grown man and Casey Mittelstadt to become a grown man and Dahlin to eventually unseat Rasmus Ristolainen is this team's number one defenseman by ice time, if not just symbolically? Are those the things, or do you think Botterill's looking at his team and recognizing that there are still flaws that he needs to fix?
Well, I don't mean to be flip, but if he doesn't recognize there are things that need to be fixed, he should be fired. I mean, come on. I mean, he has to see that. He's going to be supportive of the players, and he was throughout this interview, but he has to be able to see that, you know, moves need to be made. And he talked about conversations are going on all the time and still are. But the types of trades that I think the Sabres need to make usually are not trade deadline deals.
Uh-huh.
You know, these are the deals that happen, you know, the Jeff Skinner time when they traded for Skinner and, you know, around draft time or around, you know, the summertime where teams for whatever reason are looking to make moves. And it's not impossible to make that kind of a deal at the trade deadline. And I also asked him, too. I said, how come, I mean, you've gone since November 29th. You're the third worst team in points, and you're 2 points from being the worst team in points. All you've done is Pilot and C.J. Smith, and C.J. Smith was recent. Why have you not done more?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he goes, because, you know, he's talking about he believes in the development, and the development needs to take place with these guys and believes in these players. But I still don't think he thinks the job is done. I think he's saying, if I could paraphrase for him, I'm not going to make a trade just to please people, or I'm not going to make the wrong trade just because people think that you got to do something. Just do something. Act like you're alive. I've heard that said many times. That's not who he is, and that's not what he'll do. But I think there are a lot of conversations going on, and as he said last year and reiterated, those conversations tend to go on into the summer. Then all of a sudden you get some deals that make sense to you that you make. And I never got the impression the number one picks are off the table or anything like that, but they're for the right deal,
mm-hmm.
not just a deal to please people. And, you know, think back to the O'Reilly trade and the Kane trade and the Leonard trade. In each case, all I was told by many, many people were the Sabres overpaid. And now it's like, well, go ahead and overpay. Just do something. You know,
right,
it's like,
right.
Well, you forgot you were complaining because you thought the Sabres overpaid for those players. And so, you know, that's just the way it is when you're a general manager in the league. But in my mind, before we start worrying about coaching anything, I need players on this team with some hockey IQ. I just think this is what kills this team. Are we just going to change coaches every 2 years and let's bring the next guy in, and 2 years from now we're going to have the same guys around making the same mistakes they've made under Ted Nolan and made under Dan Bylsma and made under Phil Housley and made under Coach X, and they just keep making the same mistakes over and over again and they never learn and they keep coughing the puck up and we're just going to keep doing that? And I'm sorry. I just think if you're going to win in this league, you have to have some players who can think the game, not do well in practice, then go into a game and do the exact opposite.
You know, if I can go back a minute, if this wasn't said, I said this last hour too, and I haven't really thought of it this way very much until today. I don't find much value in comparing the Sabres to last year's Sabres, because really what the context of it is – the job that the coach and maybe the GM are doing. And for that, you want to compare them to 2 years ago when they weren't here. What have they done in 2 years? And this is reminiscent of the Bills, how you have new people in charge of a team that was you know, say, below average. I mean, not good, but not terrible. That's what Housley and Botterill took over. That's what McDermott and Bean took over. They took a team that was, you know, in a 30-team league about 20th or 21st. And then, in the Sabres' case, made it worse, or played worse, the results were worse. And now, like, any notion that they're improved is just such a crappy measurement of anything here. It's just not like a real standard. Let's compare it, to say the least, let's compare it to 2 years ago. You took over. O'Reilly was on your team last year. That counts. That's on you. Just like with the Bills and McDermott and what happened, you know, in the 2 years, it's on their record. So I want to do that. I don't want to hear about how they're in games now, which they, I mean, that's not progress at all. Losing 4-1 to New Jersey is not better than last year at all. It's not even true. Let's compare it to 2 years ago when you got here. How much better? Because this is below where we would have wanted them to be by now 2 years ago, right?
See, no, I totally disagree with that. And help me with my memory. When was Botterill hired? Was what month? Do you remember?
It was after the Stanley Cup. Well, no, it was before the finals ended because he went back to Pittsburgh to celebrate with them.
So late May, early June, somewhere in there.
Uh-huh.
That I give, and maybe I'm the only one that does this, I give Botterill almost a complete mulligan for the first year. Because he got here, he is a very methodical thinker in hockey. He didn't know what he had. He had to figure out what he had. He got here, and it's like, well, free agency started. Let's go. Let's get your team going. And he didn't make good moves. I don't think he knew what he had. And, you know, he was thrown into the job, and it's like, well, I got to fill out a roster here, but I really don't know what we need. And I just felt that he didn't do a very good job of it because of the time when he was hired. So, no, I don't look at it that way at all. I definitely compare him against last year.
And how about the coach? I mean, the coach took over a team that had 70-some points, and then they had 62 with mostly the same team. Like, is that also, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think Botterill brought in very good players in the first year. I don't think he knew what he had. He brought in guys like Pouliot, and how many of them worked out, if any? I'm trying to think if any of them worked out that he brought in, and it just wasn't a very good roster that he had put together. But I understand why, because I know how he thinks. And it was just like, well, here you go. You've got the job, and it's time to start signing players tomorrow, and you have no idea what you got on your team. You know, I'm not trying to defend the coach because, quite honestly, I need to get some players, as I said, in here that will actually do what he's asking him to do. And I think whoever the coach is that comes in next, they will be up against the same exact thing. If some of these players who have key roles on this team and have had key roles in this team don't change out.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline with us. He's in Tampa. The Sabres and Lightning will play tomorrow. We're discussing some comments today from the GM, Jason Botterill, who met with the media. Trade deadline day coming up, by the way, on Monday, the 25th. The Sabres are in Toronto to play the Leafs that night. But we'll have coverage all day and up to game time of trade deadline day. What is your sense, Paul, this many days out from the deadline? Do you have any idea whether they will? They're not flush with any kind of UFAs. There's no Evander Kane here or anything to move off the roster. So there's not that type of a move. We don't expect him to make a move for any kind of a rental. At least he's been steadfast in that all along. So I don't know if you've had reason to change your mind about that. So, like, what are we in for on Monday?
Yeah, and the Skinner, and he mentioned today that he and the agent have agreed they're not going to negotiate this contract in the media, and I can respect that. As much as I would love them to do it, they're not going to, and I totally understand why they're not going to do it. But I just don't think, as far as Skinner being one of the two unrestricted free agents, that they really have any mindset to trade him whatsoever. I've always had the impression that Botterill wants to play this out and have him play it out here till the end of the season or whenever they could come to an agreement. I think he really does want to sign Skinner, and he wants to do everything he can to get that agreement. So that's one unrestricted free agent. As of a couple of weeks ago, Pominville had not been asked for his teams, but, you know, he could be one of the guys that gone. Nate Beaulieu, a restricted free agent, could be somebody that's gone also. Even with the injury to Scandella, they may entertain his request to be traded to get more playing time. You know, Gergensen's and Larson are in that restricted category. They could be guys that you might move along, especially if you don't have plans on them to being in the long-term future. But there's really not too many guys that you would say to yourself, well, they don't have a contract, let's get them out of here and try to get something for them.
Okay.
Well, and the trade deadline's not what it used to be anyway. I mean, throughout the NHL, no. I mean, we sit there now, and it's like it used to be around 1 o'clock, and all of a sudden a thing would just fly. Now it's like 10 to 3, and it's like, well, we've had about 5 trades in the NHL. This has been great, you know, and by that, TSN is taking guns, shooting at each the air guns,
you know, guns,
the shirt, T-shirt air guns, and they're shooting them at each other by then, you know, and it's just not what it used to be. So I'm not expecting too much from a Sabre standpoint, unless they can find that deal that we've been talking about.
We'll see. There are big names this year. The Ottawa guys and the Columbus guys, mm-hmm. for starters. There are guys that would be at least candidates. And we'll talk more about this, by the way, later on today.
And is it possible, Mike, that they could go early, like within the next day or two?
Of course. You know,
before that date. And by my memory, I think we've seen a little bit more of that in the past couple of years, too, of guys going early.
All right, Paul. Glad you're feeling better. You certainly sound like you're feeling better. I'm assuming you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, guys. That was strange. I ate something that wasn't good. I'll tell you that because I didn't have the flu. I wasn't sick, but something did not agree with me for about a half hour, and it was not a fun half hour.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, guys.
Paul's appearance with us brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I can't, now I can't judge against, like, last year doesn't count. How many of these seasons don't even count? Like, because Jason Botterill has been in the NHL for how many years? He had Jack Eichel. He had Reinhardt. He had O'Reilly. He had Leonard. He had Ristolainen.
Kane.
He had Evander Kane. Like, it's a non-year. That team got decidedly worse. And Paul has his opinion. Here's mine. It is, to say the least, not offensive to care about that.
Yeah, I'm all right.
to critically judge that.
I'm all right doing that.
I mean, you have a league. I don't know if anybody's noticed this. You have a league where teams get good fast. And it's so competitive and so even that kind of bad teams even win sometimes. This team went down. And the story got written that they just didn't get along well enough. There's why. You know, if you believe that. So that had to change, right? Is that what they figured out in 1 year? That they had to trade arguably their best player? Is that what they figured out? One of their best players, at least? That's what they figured out? I mean, who you brought in, he's an executive in the NHL. What did he need to be here for? He knew he was getting this job the whole spring. So what did he need to be here for? He would have had opinions about all those guys like you and I do. And they got worse. I don't walk around like being upset at him for that. Because like we all are, I think, probably to different extents, victims of this embarrassingly low standard that our teams have maybe brainwashed us into accepting. You go to a wild card game in football in 20 years and get celebrated. You have the most points in the NHL after 25 games and call it an accomplishment. Who cares? Who cares?
Well, I'm certainly not inclined. I mean, Paul's entitled to his opinion, obviously. I'm not inclined to give Jason Botterill any kind of a pass for year one. Like, it's on his record to me. He made moves. He had time. I mean, he was here in plenty of time for trades to be made and the roster to be tweaked however he felt it needed to be tweaked. And so, you know, I get wanting to get to know how the group works together before you do anything. Like, he didn't walk in and go wrecking ball on an important piece And I can respect that. But all the same, like he made the trade for Scandella and Pominville. Like that was his move.
What did the Islanders guys do? If they were bad this year, the Islanders, that wouldn't count because they just got there. They're in first place. Like, that counts. It counts both ways. It counts when you're good, too. It obviously counts when you're good. It has to count when you're bad. And we're also just exhausted and these strained attempts to not make it sound like we're just completely done. Completely just fed up and unwilling to buy into any of it ever again. That's your choice. You can do that if you want. I don't know if we can, but you can do that if you want. There were all-star caliber players on that team last year, and there are this year. And you won a lottery this year, and you got the best defenseman you could possibly want as a prospect in the history of the game, almost. And like now it's, well, we're in games, which you're really not anyway. I mean, you're losing in the third period of all these games. What kind of compliment is that? How much worse of a compliment could you think to make? In games, I mean, it's the NHL. How many games aren't close? The worst team in history, the Sabres before Eichel, were winning games in these maddeningly frustrating 2-1 losses that they were outshot in 45-8. Like, that's in games, isn't it? How many games was that team in? Most. Now, like, that's a good thing for this team? I don't even know. What is left to be said? Of course it counts. Of course it counts that last year's team was worse than a team that fired its coach and GM and brought back principally most of the same roster. Stars, special teams, number one D, goaltending, all those guys were here. I just hate the idea of the Sabres giving themselves credit right now. That's what I hate. I understand these guys are young, and I never thought this was going to be a playoff team, you know, before it started. I mean, I loved the idea. I loved how 92% looked in November, but it wasn't supposed to be one. I recognize that. But I hate the idea of thinking that they're congratulating each other for playing Florida close. Or playing Winnipeg close. Or not being eliminated by Martin Luther King Day. That's just a joke. That would just be a joke. I cannot accept that. If he's saying that because he doesn't want to, like, he's not the most polished guy, and he's saying that because he doesn't want to insult his own team or coach or anything like that. You know, that's the best I can do here. And sometimes that is the case, but man, you got to be better at it than that. We're in games. Progress. An accomplishment to be in first in the league in November. Who cares? Did Scotty Bowman care about that when he was coaching? He's like, guys, guess what? Good news. It's November. We're in first. Like, give me a break. Accomplishment. Who cares? No one cares. You'd better not care about that. You better not take that seriously. That is not a winning team. You're a joke if you're thinking like that. Okay, I got to stop. Luke Fox of Sportsnet coming up here on WGR.
We've had a lot of conversations going on. Whether those things come to fruition, it's always hard to predict. You know, sometimes you look at the draft and then things move into the July 1st and then things move into the summer. I can't predict when it's going to happen. It's just we've continually looked at different ways to improve our team.
Jason Botterill at a small press gathering in Tampa today. Just talked about that. We'll have more on that throughout the afternoon. Right now, joining us on the West Her Hotline is Luke Fox of Sportsnet. Talk a little trade deadline and some big things coming up in the NHL. Hi, Luke. Mike and Chris here. Thanks for your time.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
All right. We saw your article with the top 10 unrestricted free agents. There are lots of potential trade deadline ramifications. Just in general, Luke, how big a day will Monday be? We're just having a conversation with a colleague where he brought up these days are sometimes letdowns. Do you see this being like that or no?
Well, it all depends if some of the big chips fall before we get to Monday, which, you know, I work for Sportsnet, and that's their their biggest worry is because they have about 84 hours of coverage planned Monday, and they're on all day. So they hope the GMs wait until Monday for some of the big deals. But it seems like everyone's waiting on Ottawa in particular, with Matt Duchene and Mark Stone, two forwards that would instantly improve a contender, and guys whose future in Ottawa is really uncertain as they're headed for unrestricted free agency on July 1. So if those guys move soon, then we could see a bunch of other moves to follow. If those guys wait until the last day or the last 48 hours, then Monday could be a really big day, because there's a feeling that a lot of the whatever teams don't get in on those forwards will then start to look at guys like perhaps Wayne Simmonds or the second-tier forwards that are available. So those guys kind of, Ottawa and Pierre Dorion there kind of holds the key to when the dominoes start to fall.
And the latest that I know of, and there could be more that I missed today so far, Luke, but that Duchene is not going to play moving forward for Ottawa, and they maybe haven't made that decision on Stone or Dzingel, who's not to the level of those other two guys, but that Duchene is, and I would take that as a sign that they're almost definitely going to move him.
Yeah, that's the word, is that Duchene's the one that's going to be moved out, and they're still trying to hammer out a long-term deal with Stone. And what I've heard regarding Stone is that one of the stumbling blocks is that it's the signing bonuses. He wants a lot of his money up front, you know, much like John Tavares got when he signed as a free agent in Toronto. So much of it is front-loaded in those signing bonuses, and that's what he wants in terms of his next deal. And that poses a problem for a small market team like Ottawa and owner Eugene Melnyk, who doesn't have a ton of cash flow. And so that kind of seems to be the stumbling block right there. Now, we don't know how hard of a line Stone is drawing on that, if he ultimately wants to just stay in Ottawa where he's been relatively happy, or if this is, you know, a hill to die on, so to speak, and that if he doesn't get a nice, juicy contract with that signing bonus up front, that he'll be willing to move on, because they can't afford to let these guys walk for free. I did see a tweet just recently saying that Guy Boucher said he hasn't been told that he has to sit Duchene, but It just makes sense to sit this guy, because all signs point to him being traded. And there's a bunch of teams that are interested, namely the Predators, who were kind of interested at the same time. He was first traded from Colorado. The Columbus Blue Jackets are another one who are looking for center depth and would love to add him. And then there's other teams like perhaps Boston or Winnipeg that are looking for forwards and could be interested. So he's the kind of guy who's having a career year and could really drive a nice little bidding war for Ottawa over the next few days here.
And I imagine we're talking about the usual group of assets here. First-round pick, proven young player, up-and-coming young player too, like that sort of package for, I would say, both of those guys, Duchene and Stone, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would think three pieces, maybe four, starting with that first-round pick. I mean, Dorion has his eyes on getting a first-rounder back, because, as everyone knows, he gave that away to get Duchene in the first place, and it's cost him dearly, especially the fact that Ottawa is targeting to have the highest odds of winning the draft lottery and a potential franchise player in young Jack Hughes, the American. So, absolutely, Ottawa wants a first-round pick kind of recoup some of the losses they gave up to get the guy in the first place.
Man, they're in a really interesting spot. You know, there are some nice young players there. Shabbat sort of took, I don't know if he took the whole league by surprise. He definitely took me by surprise. You know, Brady Tkachuk looks pretty nice. Colin White's pretty nice. If they could hang on to Duchene and Stone, it's not like they have to be like into a three-year thing here, but yet those players kind of have them over a barrel. It's a really, really tough spot, especially when you factor in what you just mentioned, the price they paid to acquire Duchene in the first place could end up being Jack Hughes, and oh my God.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's just nightmare, right, for every Senators fan is fearing right now. But I agree with you. I think their prospect pool and their group of young rookies is fantastic. You know, Thomas Chabot is an absolute treat to watch. Like, his flair for offense
and in joining the rush and the way he can command a power play at such a young age is phenomenal. I think he was a highly prized prospect when he came into the league, but I don't think people expected him to kind of take over driving the offense from the back end the way he has, especially in light of Erik Karlsson moving on to San Jose. So he's a really nice story. And Brady Tkachuk coming in and doing everything, you know, fighting, creating plays, sticking up for his teammates. Guy Boucher, the coach there, says he's the consummate professional, and this is only a kid. So the future is actually bright there, and the long-term plan, Melnick has said, is to spend a little bit more 2 or 3 years down the road when you would think Shabbat and Tkachuk and Colin White and these guys are coming into their own. So I do think they need to keep, you know, one of the veterans around. Doesn't look like it's going to be Duchesne, but Stone is an absolute phenomenal guy to keep around. I know that Tkachuk actually lives with Stone. He's his landlord as well, and he's kind of like this quiet leader type. So it's good just to keep one of these guys around for the young guys as an example, but also to let the fans know that every time a guy comes up to unrestricted free agency, they're not just going to leave. They need to keep some of these guys.
Speaking of that, how about Jeff Skinner here? I know what you wrote. You think it maybe goes to the offseason, right?
Yeah, I do. It's a really interesting case, and it's gotten more interesting in light of the Sabres' slide of late. Mm-hmm. I think they've lost, three in a row, maybe only won about 3 of their last 10. If they were in the playoff mix, it's kind of an easier call. Now that they've kind of slid to the bubble, and they're going to have to kind of scratch and claw it to get one of those wild card spots. It's an interesting choice for Botterill, but I think he's been such a great fit with Jack Eichel, and I got to talk to both Skinner and Eichel in San Jose over the All-Star weekend. And, you know, it was just really genuine how much they enjoy playing with each other. And Skinner, you know, said that he loves the city. And I think Botterill is going to try and roll the dice here. I mean, he's not saying much publicly, but that's my gut feeling, is that he's going to roll the dice and not force Skinner to make a decision by Monday on an extension, but hope that, you know, he can sell Skinner on, A, this is a great hockey town that you're in. I'm playing you with one of the best, probably the best centerman you've ever been played with, who's you know, a little bit younger than you, and you guys are going to flourish together, and we're going to add some more pieces in the summer, hopefully, when a guy like, say, Pominville comes off the books and frees up a little bit more money to add to this team that's now trending in the right direction. So we'll see, because I'm sure right now Skinner's ask on an extension is quite high just based on the numbers he put up. And I think, you would know better than me, but I think trading him at this point would just really kind of dishearten the fan base there who have seen so many positive signs over the first few months of this season.
I think we both think you're right about that.
No question.
Yeah.
Luke, how about Columbus? So what kind of odds would you put on those guys being moved, maybe even together?
I see Bobrovsky as staying there until the summer. I think it's too tricky of a move to pull off because the teams that would be interested in obtaining a goalie on a rental basis usually are pretty good anyway, and usually they're pretty good because they have a number one goaltender. So I think it would be hard to find a fit for him in the next 5 days here. I think he does move on in the summer. And plus, if Columbus gives him away, you know, Korpisalo hasn't been able to stop many pucks. Like, that would be waving the white flag and giving up on the playoff race. And I don't think management wants to do that because the Metro is kind of jump ball. And I think if Columbus gets in, and they could make some noise. Panarin, I think there's a higher chance that he gets moved because I don't see either of them coming back. But another tricky situation where you don't want to just let the guy walk for free, but at the same point, he's their leading scorer. And this is a team that is probably going to make the playoffs. So if you give them away, you have to find something else, which is why I guess they're poking around with Duchesne. So, you know, maybe they do two moves if they move Panarin. It's interesting that Panarin switched agents, and now they have the same agent. So maybe on July 1, they do become a package deal. I know Florida in particular is interested in both of them. Dale Talon, you know, has already started clearing cap space and promised the fan base that they're going to take a run at some big name free agents, and those are two of the biggest on July 1. But there's other cities that are interested in Panarin. You know, I've heard the Kings, the Rangers. So he's going to, you know, pretty much have his pick because he's such a dynamic player.
Duchesne and Stone, Panarin, Bobrovsky, those are the big four. And, you know, we've just sort of gone through that and handicapped it and trying to figure out, like, you know, which of those guys, if any or all, will end up being moved on Monday. How about beyond those four guys? Like, who are the next most interesting names, potentially impactful names to watch heading for Monday, Luke?
Well, I think in the second tier, I think you're looking at a couple of power forwards in Michael Ferland in Carolina and Wayne Simmonds in Philadelphia. Just their brand of play. They can provide secondary scoring to a team. They can help out with the power play. And they're both the kind of guys that you want come playoff time because they will go in the corners. They will go to the front of the net, take a hit, give a hit, do all the greasy things that seem to be of higher value once April hits. And Philadelphia, there's no way that they're going to be able to afford Wayne Simmonds. And I think the writing on the wall with that one was when they signed another left winger in James Van Riemsdyk last July 1 to a big money contract, another power play guy. And they've already committed too much money to forward. So I think Wayne Simmonds is going to be a classic rental piece who can help one of the contending teams with that secondary scoring. Ferland's a bit of an interesting case. We heard his name a lot about a month ago, but now that Carolina's gone on a bit of a run and they're kind of on the bubble, they might be tempted to keep him just because they have the longest playoff drought in the whole league. I believe it's 10 years, or it's about to be 10 years. And as we all know, that market is kind of starved attendance-wise and are trying to get as many people in the seats as possible. So even getting into a wild card would be considered a victory in that market. And Tom Dundon, their new owner, is a bit of a wild card. So he's another interesting name to watch because I think there would be a healthy market and they could get a nice return if they put him up. But the way the team's playing, they might be tempted to keep him. And so those are the types of deals that could go down to the wire, down to Monday.
Luke, great information. Thanks a lot for your time again.
All right, thanks for having me. Have a good evening.
You too. Luke Fox of Sportsnet. His article, 10 Guys, 10 Names to Watch, Unrestricted Free Agents to Be, Trade Deadline Ramifications, some of whom we've been talking about. You can find that at Sportsnet.
And at Luke Fox Jukebox on Twitter.
Oh.
I love the Twitter handle.
Luke Fox Jukebox.
Luke
I love it.
Luke Fox Jukebox.
I wish my name were Luke Fox.
I know, right. I don't know if I would have been creative enough to come up with that, though.
Oh, yeah. All right. Back to work. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
644-9878 is the number. Caller 5 is who you want to be to win a pair of tickets to go check out Nick Mason. The Saucer Full of Secrets, Tuesday, April 11th at 7:30 p.m. at Shays Performing Arts Center. Minimum value of this prize is $100. Prize comes courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules apply. Nick Mason is the original drummer from Pink Floyd. Tickets and info at Shays.org.
I didn't know that until you said who he was. I didn't know the thing about... I didn't know who Nick Mason was until you said
something. Oh, okay.
Now I do. The yep. original drummer of Pink Floyd. That's big.
Yep. Yes.
Here's Chuck with us. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Chuck.
Man, it's like this coach sucks. I mean, just because we don't want to fire a coach every 2 years, it ain't warranted not to fire a coach every 2 years in this instance. You can't hold your head on that. If the guy sucks, the guy sucks. He's got to go. I mean, he's bringing the worst out of players. I don't think he's a very good teacher. I don't think he's got much charisma. I mean, the way he is at the podium, I mean, I could wonder how the practices go. Good Lord, this is brutal.
All right, Chuck. Well, we'll talk more about this after the update. Jason Botterill today seemed taken aback by a question about Phil Housley, maybe to the extent that this subject is off the table in the offseason. We'll explain and discuss and take more of your calls at 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.